This is the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast. This podcast is designed to help teachers prepare to lead a Bible study group using Lifeway's Explore the Bible adult resources. Each week, we review the Bible passage for that week's study. We examine some questions that teachers may face, and we give some teaching tips along the way. This spring, we are studying the second half of Genesis. I'm Amber Vaden, your host, and today I'm joined by Mike Livingston. Mike is no stranger to this podcast. He's been on frequently. He serves as an editor on our Explore the Bible team, so he's super, super valuable part of our team, and we appreciate you coming today, Mike.
It's good to be back. Thanks.
Today we're looking at Session 10. We will be discussing Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 21. Well, so we've been in Genesis now for, I guess, 5 months, a little over 5 months. We have just a few more chapters to go. It's been a really good study. Today's passage of study is really a familiar one, but that's maybe an opportunity to look at it afresh and to ask the Lord what He would teach us through it, even if it's a passage that we've studied before. In Genesis 39, Moses tells about the attempts by Potiphar's wife to seduce Joseph. Joseph refused her advances, and he pointed as his reason to the trust placed in him by Potiphar. He also viewed any act like that as a sin, both against Potiphar and God, so he was pretty clear in his refusal. She persisted daily, and he continued to refuse. A day arrived, though, when no one else was present, and Potiphar's wife grabbed Joseph's clothing and commanded him to sleep with her. He left his clothing and he fled. So he ran. She still had his cloak. She then called out to her household servants and claimed that Joseph had tried to rape her but fled when she screamed. She held on to Joseph's clothing as evidence that she would later share with Potiphar. When Potiphar returned, his wife repeated her false accusations against Joseph, and in his anger, Potiphar had Joseph placed into the king's prison. With God's help, though, and we see this over and over, Joseph found favor with the prison warden. Our summary statement for this session is this: pure living brings honor from God. So there's a lot happening in this passage. We know at the beginning that Joseph was pretty clear about his refusal. What were the foundational arguments that he made against going to bed with Potiphar's wife?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he made two arguments. First of all, it would have been, if he had done that, it would have violated the trust that Potiphar put mm-hmm. in him, had placed in him. Because he says, my master, talking about Potiphar, calls him my master, has put everything under my authority, everything he owns under my authority, and has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his mm-hmm. wife. So that was the first thing. He says that I would be violating the trust that Potiphar put in me. I can't do that. But he doesn't stop there. He also goes on to say, so how could I do this immense evil, and how could I sin against God? So he calls this, notice those two words that he uses, evil and sin. Mm-hmm. So that was maybe the foundational argument right there. You know, one of the devil's tricks that he likes to use is to get people to call sin something other than what it really is, to make it sound less mm-hmm. objectionable, or even to make it sound desirable. And so, you know, we can talk about, alternative lifestyles or it's just got to express yourself, or it's just, you know, me fooling around. Yeah, I mean, we come up with all kinds of ways to talk about sin, but we can call it whatever we want. It's still sin in God's eyes, and sin is evil. No matter what we call it, it's sin is sin in God's eyes. And so the foundational argument that, that he makes here is that'd be sin. That's evil. And that's sin. And I'm not going to do mm-hmm. it.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned renaming sin. I think we do that, mm-hmm. and sometimes we don't necessarily rename it, but we definitely minimize it or downplay it. Mm-hmm. And right. that is that should be, if that could be a red flag for us, it should. And remembering how Joseph just very clearly stated it's evil and it's sin. If we, when we are faced with a temptation, would clearly see and hear those words, that might help us to, as Joseph did, really resist even more, so that we don't fall to its temptation. So this next question, just there's a lot applicable in today's passage for us today. And we may not be in Joseph's shoes in the exact same kind of tempting situation, but we still face our own temptations that still would distance us from the Lord should we be involved in it. What can we do to prepare ourselves to stand firm against temptation?
And that's such a good question. And I think in our groups, as we teach this, we can have some really helpful conversations, some really practical conversations. Mm-hmm. That's my hope. You know, it's inevitable that temptations are going to come.
Yes.
But it's not inevitable that we have to give in to them when they do come, because Scripture, there's a promise in Scripture, you know, that with temptation, God provides a way out. You know, Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 10. You know, there are three key temptation experiences in Scripture, and each one tells us something really important about how to deal with temptation.
Okay.
And so the first one, the very first one in Scripture you see is comes in the first, you know, chapters of Genesis with Eve. And that whole experience, or her temptation, the lesson we learn from that is don't believe Satan's lies, because Satan's strategy with Eve was to put a question mark where God put an exclamation mark. I mean, Satan said or asked Eve, did God really say that? Did he really say that? And, you know, the devil's tactics have not changed. He attacks by tempting us to question the word of God or even the character of God. And the lie of the devil is always that we can find greater gratification apart from God, or that sin is going to make us happier, or we're going to be more content, or even that we can be our own gods, and that we can do these things without any consequence. But sin never delivers what it promises. We don't believe the lie. And the way to not allow ourselves to be conformed to that kind of thinking is to allow God to transform our minds. And Paul talked about that in Romans 12. 1 and 2, you know, that we don't have to fall captive to the devil's lies and to the world's lies, and that we can actually go on the offense against the lies of the tempter. And, you know, using the language of warfare, Paul said, we take every thought captive to obey Christ, take every thought captive. So don't believe the lies, is what we learn from Eve. And then you've got Joseph's story here, which we learn something else from Joseph's story. Sometimes you just have to run. Sometimes that is the response, is to run, because Joseph, he was in a daily battle, because it says that Potiphar's wife, she was persistent. It says she spoke to Joseph day after day. So he's in a daily battle with this. And one day he finds himself alone in the house with her, and she propositions him, and he recognizes the circumstances here call for running. And that's what he did. So running from temptation can mean that we remove ourselves from the temptation, or that we're proactive in removing the temptation from us. That we're going to take a preemptive strike and remove that temptation from us. And that can come in different forms. I mean, if your computer or if your device is a source of temptation, there are things you can do. Right. I mean, you can put your computer in a more public, I mean, put it in the family room, you know, or the kitchen where the family is. I mean, you put filters on it. You know, it might mean severing some relationships. I don't know, whatever it means. Most of the time, the wise thing to do is just to run from temptation. Unless there's no way to escape it, don't stay in the temptation of presence, and avoid the situations where you know you're going to be tempted. Okay, so we learn from Joseph's story, we just run. You know, there are times you just have to run. But there's one other temptation where I think experience where we learn something really important. That's Jesus's temptation experience. when Jesus met Satan's temptations with scripture. And he said, "Go away, Satan, for it is written." And he uses scripture. And the lesson to be learned from Jesus here is, it is not just being able to quote the Bible when we're tempted, but rather to use the Bible. And there's a difference. I mean, Satan could quote scripture. Well, he misquoted it, but he could quote it. Knowing Bible verses and being able to quote them could be a helpful defense in resisting the devil's attacks. But it's living by the word that's imperative. The devil knew scripture but didn't obey it. It was in his head, but certainly not in his heart. So, you know, we don't just quote the Bible, but we use it as a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. That, of course, you know, Romans 1:19, there's a whole lot of really practical wisdom in Psalm 119. Let me say Psalm 119, a lot of practical wisdom there about using scripture to combat temptation.
Yeah.
And there's that one verse in verse 11, it says, "I've treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you." I've treasured your word in my heart. So that's more than just memorizing it, to use it as a tool. To treasure in our heart, it means we have a passion for God's word. We treasure his word, and that grows out of a longing for God. Mm-hmm. Why do we treasure his word? Because we have a longing for God. It's God that we seek in his word. Because the verse right before that in Psalm 119, it says, "I have sought you with all my heart." So the key to overcoming temptation is to want him more than you want what the temptation promises.
Yeah.
So what we learn from these is, like, okay, first of all, don't believe the lies. Take your thoughts captive. Run like crazy when you need to, and seek God in his word and treasure his word.
Yeah. I think there's a real danger in not recognizing what's at stake when we are facing a temptation. And sitting right behind that, there's a danger in not being prepared for what we would do. And so those three that you gave, I think, are super, super practical things that we can do, things that we can really decide in advance how we will face things. I love that passage, Psalm 119:11. Coincidentally, that was the very first Bible verse I ever memorized when I was a kid. It was at a vacation Bible school, and that was the verse. And your suggestion of changing your focus and making sure that your heart is set on honoring the Lord, that could be the game changer. So that's a game changer. So later on, we see Joseph gets thrown into the king's prison, but again, he is shown favor. Why is it important to see that God was with Joseph even in this prison situation?
It's an important point, because it says it twice in Genesis 39. It says the Lord is with Joseph. It says it in verse 2 and verse 21. And I think it's important for us, because what it says to us is that doing what's right before God, doing what's right in God's eyes, like Joseph did, doesn't guarantee things are always going to go your way or things are going to be easy.
That's right.
Because you can be in the center of God's will and you still experience pain and you still experience heartbreak and trouble, because we live in a broken world. Mm-hmm. So Joseph, he stayed faithful. He refused to give in to temptation. Ultimately, it turned out well for him. Ultimately, the Lord vindicated Joseph's faithfulness. But even if the Lord had not vindicated him, it would not have negated this truth that the Lord was with him. One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is Habakkuk 3. We don't look at Habakkuk very much, but there's a really powerful statement at the end of Habakkuk that I think speaks to this, where he says, even though the fig tree does not bud and there's no fruit on the vines, and even though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food and the flocks disappear from the pen and there's no herds in the stalls, yet I will celebrate in the Lord and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. So he's saying, even if the cupboard is bare, and everything looks you know, bleak, and you're walking through the darkest valley, you know, I'm still going to celebrate in the Lord, celebrate the Lord. And so the question is, when things are going bad, I mean, you know, when we're going through those hard times, do we still trust God in those times? Do we still celebrate him in those times? Mm-hmm. Spurgeon said that God is too good to be unkind, and he's too wise to be mistaken. And so when we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. When we know God's character, when we know who God is, we know that we can trust him even in the darkest prison like Joseph. We know, because we know who God is, we know that we can trust him in those times. So I think it's important for us to see that, to know that the Lord was with Joseph, because things don't always go well for us.
Yeah, they don't. And you mentioned earlier, ultimately, he was not left in the prison, but it wasn't instantly. That was my thought. I was like, well, it wasn't instant. Yeah. And so there's just an opportunity for Joseph to trust the Lord. And the same for us. We don't always get to see. So many times I realize a little too late that I should be looking at the long view of things and not the short view, because that will always put things a little in better perspective.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this week we want to highlight the Bible skill. This is found in the Leader Guide, and it's just an opportunity to spend a little time in your Bible study group this week to talk about how do we become better students of God's Word. And so one really useful Bible skill is to learn that we can use other scripture passages to understand a specific one that we're looking at today. And so it gives some other passages to look at that talks about how we resist temptation, what tools are available to us as believers, and how do we recognize those situations and use God's word, as Mike said earlier, to really fight against temptation, not just to have it in mind, but to really rely on it and depend on it to help us in those moments of temptation. So the Bible skill is to use other scripture to help understand a Bible passage. From time to time in the podcast, we mention different resources in the Explore the Bible family. The Leader Pack, the Adult Commentary, and Quick Source are just a few. You can find out more about all of the Explore the Bible resources on our website at goexplorethebible.com. Mike, thank you for being here with us today.
You're most welcome. Enjoyed it.
Well, we appreciate it. Next week, we will have Bob Bunn with us. We will be discussing parts of Genesis chapter 41, and we hope you'll join us.